pocket here to put this in. All right, it is good to be with you, and I've enjoyed it thus far, the camp meeting and services. I always do. Thankful that I can come. Be turning with me to the book of Acts, if you will. And seemed like the Lord brought this verse to mind while the other men were preaching and as the services began. So, I don't really have an outline, so just trust the Lord, try to do what the Lord wants us to. But Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, just read the one verse and look at this. It says there, this is Paul, we know Paul speaking here, and he says in verse 24, "But none of these things move me." Now, of course, you can go back and look at those things that he spoke of that had not moved him. He said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the time we've had thus far. Lord, I am grateful for each man that's stood behind this pulpit today and preached. Lord, we are thankful for your presence we felt here today. The singing, Lord, the songs that we've sung, how they've lifted our hearts. And Lord, we've just, Lord, been able to worship you and magnify you. We just thank you for the Word of God, how precious it is. Lord, I pray here for just a few moments you'd use us. Lord, might we just empty ourselves of self and pride, and Lord, just be filled with the Spirit of God. And Lord, I just ask, oh God, preach through me here for just a few moments. Use me, Lord. I pray I'd be like that woman that had those empty vessels that could be filled. And Lord, just fill me and use me. Help me to be a blessing. Lord, we just thank you for the theme it seems like we've had. And Lord, this idea, this thought that, Lord, God is our friend and we can be the friend of God. What a thought. How precious it is to know that God is our friend, that He loves us. The Bible said He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. And we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Of course, we understand in this verse of Scripture here, Paul speaks of his life. He says that none of these things move me. The things that he endured and the things that he suffered. You know what? And I'll try to tie this in. But I was thinking and been thinking since yesterday that, and at our church, I'm taking care of the outlines for Sunday school. I have now for some time. And Pastor asked me if I'd start making the outlines for the adult classes and for the teen class. So I have been. And the last several weeks we've been studying on the blood of Christ. And he gave me a book to kind of use as a guide by Andrew Murray. You may have seen it, you may have it, on the blood of Christ. Tremendous book. And so I've been using that kind of as a guide and as a foundation for the outlines. And I'm getting to a point here. But we studied, and the book begins by just explaining what the blood of Christ is and the importance of it and the preciousness of it. And then it has chapters where it speaks of how we're redeemed by the blood. We're reconciled by the blood. We're sanctified by the blood. There's a chapter on heavenly joy that we have through the blood and the victory that we have through the blood. And on and on it goes. There was a chapter on being cleansed by the blood and what that is. And there is some difference there between the cleansing and the redeeming and reconciling. It's tremendous. And God's helped us to make these outlines. And I know they've helped me. They've deepened my understanding of the blood of Christ. But the lesson that we will use this coming Sunday is one of the last lessons we're going to make out of the book, but it has to do with the blood of the cross. And the thought of that is, if you go look at that, Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, tells us that He's made peace by the blood of His cross. And if you really think, most of the time what we think about when we think of the cross, and it's good that we do that, we must, we should, and that is we think of the work that was done there on the cross by Christ. And oh yes, how precious it is to know the work there, that which Christ accomplished on the cross, that finished work that redeems us and reconciles us, that blood that was shed. But listen, it wasn't about the cross, but it was about Him who hung on the cross and His shed blood. We hear so often and we speak, and I'm afraid if we're not careful, and there's many that'll take the cross itself and worship it. And they'll look at the cross and they'll wear the cross and all of those things. But listen, it's not the cross. Listen, it wasn't those two pieces of wood that were nailed together, but it was the very One who hung there on that cross, who gave His life, laid it down. Oh, listen, that's what gives... Listen, Christ and His shed blood is what gives the value to the cross. It's what makes the cross what it is. It's what gives it its power and its value. And that's what we'll be studying this Sunday. And I'm going to tie this in because when you get into that and you think about it, it goes much deeper than just the work that Christ did on the cross. But we must look back and at His life and what led Him to the cross. And I'll tell you what it was. It was the disposition. It was that inner disposition. It was the character of Christ that we must look at. Oh, listen, the Bible emphasizes much more the character of Christ than it does His sufferings. Yes, we know He suffered greatly. But yet we must look at the character, and that's what we want to do here with Paul. Just as Christ was an example, and I believe the greatest example that you and I have is Christ. And it would do us all good to study His character, His disposition. You know, and we'll look at this, but when you think about Christ, and you remember, He was with His disciples at one point, and He was hungry, and His disciples said, "Oh, Lord, You must eat. Oh, listen, let us go into town. Let us get You something to eat. You must eat." And He looked at them and He said, "Oh, listen, I have meat to eat that you know not of." He wasn't talking about that physical meat. He wasn't talking about that manna, that fish and those loaves. He wasn't talking about the physical food. But He said, "I've got meat that you know not of." And He said, "The meat is for Me to do the will of My Father which has sent Me." That's that disposition. There's the character of Christ. Listen, Christ looked forward. Listen, Christ knew what the end was. He knew where His life would end. But yet, He set Himself on a course and He said, "I'll not be turned." One place in the Bible says that He set Himself like a flint towards Jerusalem. And He set a course. And He stayed on it. In fact, if you go to John 10, those precious words there in John 10, where He spoke of His death, and He said, listen, He said, "No man takes My life, but I lay it down willingly." There it is. Now notice what we, as we look at that and think about that, think about Paul. What an example he was. And he says here, "But none of these things move Me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish My course." You know, we've heard this morning preaching about God is our friend. And truly He is. If we're saved this morning, He's our friend. And as it's been said, and I agree, what I desire, what I hope is that I can be called the friend of God. I know He's my friend, and yes, He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And yes, He's that friend that'll never leave us. He's given us that promise, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But oh, as it's been said and brought out, I think Brother Benny brought out Abraham, and how it said that Abraham was a friend of God. and how that he stood as an intercessor in the room instead of others. There, when he knew Lot was, when he knew that Sodom was to be destroyed, and there he interceded for Lot and his family and for those that were there, that was his own. As an intercessor, and he was the friend of God, and because of that, he could draw near to God. But here we notice with Paul that none of these things move him that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus. Now let's think about this for just a moment. Give you just a few thoughts here quickly. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. When we think about this and you look back and you study the life of Paul, from the moment he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, when the Lord smote him there with that blindness and he fell to his knees, and there he was made to acknowledge Him as Lord. And there in that moment, in an instant, I believe Paul was converted. I've heard some say that it wasn't until 3 days later when he received his sight. Now I believe right there on that road, he had an encounter and he had an experience that changed his life forever. He experienced the saving grace of God there on that road to Damascus. I know it's 3 days later before his eyes were opened. God had a purpose for that. He had somebody waiting there, we know, named Ananias. And the Lord said to Ananias, you go down and you see that man. And you minister to him. And of course, Ananias argued for a little while and said, do you not know who that is? That man and how he persecutes the church. But we know that he went down. And in doing so, there he laid his hands on Saul's eyes. The scales fell off. He received his sight. He was baptized. And you know what the Bible says? Right after that, in that same chapter, it said immediately he went out and began to preach Christ. Immediately. You know what he was doing? He was setting his sights on that course that God had laid out. Why? Because what did the Lord tell Ananias to go down and tell Saul? He said, when you get down there, he said, you tell him that he's my chosen vessel unto the Gentiles. He said, you let him know that, listen, I've chose him. I've set him apart and I've got a purpose. I've got a course for him. And that course is that he's to be a light unto the Gentiles and he's to be my chosen vessel that'll go and take the gospel to the Gentiles. There's that course that he said, I must finish with joy. Now, when he think about this and he says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, we're not talking about reckless abandonment. We're not talking about that Paul just went off reckless and didn't give any thought for his life or didn't give any thought for himself. No, we're not talking of it in that sense. It wasn't reckless abandonment. But listen, I'll tell you what it was. It was a resolute commitment. It was a resolve deep in the heart and soul of Paul that said, listen, I'll not count my life dear if necessary. I'll lay it down. I'll give it up for the cause of Christ. There may come a day, I don't know. We see things worsening on every hand. I've never seen the like of things that's going on in our day. Even in this country, things are worsening every day. I don't know what we're going to have to face. Truthfully, none of us do. None of us know what we're going to face. But oh, what an example we have here in Paul. None of these things move me. He said, Lord, what he's saying there, he said, I've got a course. He said, God's laid me out a course. God's given me a purpose to my life. Boy, isn't that wonderful to know that you've got purpose to your life? That if you're here today and you're a born-again, saved child of God, that He's got a purpose for your life. Oh, listen, that doesn't mean that purpose is going to be preaching the gospel or be a missionary and be sent to a foreign land or somewhere to start a church. No, listen. Sometimes He just calls people to be in a church and be solid members in a church. I'll be honest with you. To start with, I was content with that. How the Lord worked everything out. My dad come back home and he's here. I thank God he's here. And get to see him for a little while. But anyway, when he came back from Canada, he started the church over in what wound up being in Slaughters. And the Lord just began to work some things out. We had our first child and we began to attend some services over there. They wanted to see the grandchild and so we'd take him, and little did we know the Lord got a hold of us. And I've told this many times and it's precious, but the Lord saved my wife. In other words, we got in church and we joined the church there and we began to work in the church. And I was content. I was happy. I knew I was right with God. I knew that I could serve the Lord and have some joy. And He changed my home and my family. He did so much for us and blessed us with so much. I was happy with that. A few years went by and then suddenly God began to put a hunger in me to preach. And my father told me, we were walking into our house. We lived in Providence and we were walking in one day. And it had to be the Lord. And he looked at me and he said, "Son, have you ever thought about preaching?" And I had never said anything to him. Never mentioned it. Never mentioned that there was any burden at all there, any hunger at all there. And he just looked at me and said, "Son, have you ever thought that you was called to preach?" And I was teaching Sunday school at the time, like I say, content. But the Lord got a hold of me. The Lord had a purpose for me. And so the Lord began to use me. But listen, let me say to you this morning, you've got a purpose. Listen, whatever God's purpose, whatever God's will is for your life, listen, that's no less important than anyone else. Listen, what God calls you to do is just as important as what He calls anyone else. Listen, you don't have to be a preacher or a missionary to, you know, God will take even the least and use them, and God often puts us in places. Listen, my dad, and I know a lot, grew up in this church and remember its beginnings and how it got started. And my dad started several churches. And he was never able to start them without people. God would bring people in. And I remember he talked about some of the buildings that went on here and some other places. He said God would just bring in the talent. We needed somebody that knew how to lay block, or we needed somebody that was a carpenter, or we needed somebody that knew something about this, about electrical, or whatever it was. And he said, God would bring somebody in that had that knowledge. Put them in the church, and they would be used, and things would get done, and God's work would be accomplished. I don't know how many times he's mentioned that, and how God would place people. Listen, God's got a purpose for you. Listen, He's got a course for you to run. And He's not saying this just as a preacher. Paul's not saying this just as a missionary. But he's saying, listen, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear. Paul was happy with the life God had given him. You go and read of his life and you read, and even Paul speaks of the sufferings that he had to suffer, the beatings he took, and the imprisonment. And he was shipwrecked, and he was on an island for 3 days, and on he goes. When you get into the book of Corinthians, there where he writes to the church at Corinth, he speaks much about those things and the sufferings that he had. But he said, "I don't count my life dear unto myself." He said, "I've set my course." And he said, "By God's grace," notice what he says here. He said, "I don't count it dear to myself," but notice what he says next, "so that I might finish my course with joy." I tell you what, that means a whole lot right there. Listen, let me say this to you, and I'm young, I know that. And I know very little. And I don't know how long a course I've got, how many more years I've got, but I know this, listen, it does matter how you end. A lot of times we think about how we start, but listen, it matters as much how we end as how we start. Listen, we ought to finish our course. Listen, we ought to start our course with joy, but we ought to be able to end it with joy. Oh, listen, we ought to, when we're set on that course, and listen, we've settled in our minds and in our hearts, and we know what God's will is, and He sets us on that course. Oh, listen, go through that course with joy, and when you come to the finish of it, see, Paul knew as time got close, he knew that his end was about near, but yet he finished it with joy. You know, you remember those that came and seen him, and the one man came down and prophesied to him because he was about to go to Rome, and he said, "Listen, if you go to Rome, you know what's going to happen?" Pretty much what he said was, "You're going to lose your life." And those men that were there, they said they fell on his neck and wept and cried and kissed his neck and said, "Oh, we don't want you to go. Can you not? Would you not go?" And he said, "I must." What he was saying is, "I must go. I know what lies ahead." And listen, Paul didn't look back. Paul didn't turn aside to the left or to the right. Paul said, "I know what awaits me in Rome, but I must go." And he went. And we know that Paul finished his course with joy. Notice what else the verse says. Now he says, I finished my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. What kept Paul on that course? What kept Paul from going to the left or to the right? What kept him from turning back? He had received a ministry of the Lord Jesus. Listen, I dare say that if it had been left up to Paul to choose his own course and his own purpose, his own life, if he could have chose his own life personally, he probably never would have chose the life that he lived. But listen, he realized that his course, his ministry, that he received it of the Lord Jesus. He realized that the call that he had and the course that he was on was set for him by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew that if God called him and God set him on that course, then he knew God could take him through it and bring him to the end and he could finish it with joy. Listen, let me say to you, listen, I know that if God's called you and God's given you a purpose, then God's promised to see you through it and He'll bring you to the very end of it. You can finish with joy. To know you've received it of the Lord Jesus. Notice what His ministry was. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. What a ministry it was. What a ministry Paul had. We know all the things Paul suffered and all that he went through. You remember he was let down in a basket at one time. He was thrown out of the city and left for dead. He was stoned and left for dead. He was in prison. He was falsely accused. But oh, I like what he said though. None of these things moved me. You know, there was another verse in the book of Timothy where Paul said, I endure all things. The verse there says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. And he said, that's why I endure these things. He said, because I know there's others out there that need the gospel. I know there's others out there that must hear the gospel. I know there's others out there that need the gospel of the grace of God. They need that preached to them and shared with them, and they need a witness. Is it no less in our day? We've ever living in a day, if we ever live in a generation that needs a witness, it's this generation that we're living in. Dad was come by and preached for us Sunday night. And he preached somewhat along these lines, a little different. And just give some personal testimonies. But I'll never forget, the Lord just towards the end, I noticed the Lord beginning to pull at his heart. And suddenly the tears begin to come. And he said, I'm concerned for this present generation. And he said, because I'm afraid that we're going to raise a generation or have raised a generation that's never seen a move of God. Never seen a revival. And he said, I don't want that. He said, I don't want that. And I could tell the Lord just touched his heart. And I feel the same way. I'm afraid there's a generation, maybe two generations, that's come up in our churches and they've seen very little of the power of God, the moving of God, or His presence in our service. Like Brother Richardson said, and our place is no different. Calvary, I love Calvary, love our pastor. Good man of God, preaches to us. Faithful. I went by the other day, about 10 o'clock or so. There he was at his study. Come back by the church where I work. I go out in the county. Come back by about 2 o'clock and Van's still there. He was still in his study. I don't know how many hours, but he spends hours and he studies and he prays and he preaches. I love the church. But listen, we're like so many. We get into formality and we get into a rut and we come in and we have 3 songs and some announcements and we take the offering on the last song and we have maybe a special and the preacher gets up and preaches and to give an invitation, we dismiss and we go out. And so often, here's the thing, we go out and we're no different than when we came in. Nothing. I tell you, I've been in services and it breaks my heart. And often it's been me. My heart's been cold and dead and dry. I've been in services, and I look and I see that there seems to be no one affected by the preaching. I remember some days and some revivals, and listen, this is why that these things should never move us. This is why we should be like Paul and not allow anything to move us. Not to count our life dear unto ourselves, but listen, we're to give our lives. Paul said, the life that I live, he said, I live it now by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. Galatians 2:20. In other words, he said, my life means nothing to me. What did he say in Philippians? He said, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. There it is. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That's why these things shouldn't move. Why? Oh, listen, because we need to stay the course. Don't turn aside. Don't turn back. Listen, we've got a generation in front of us. Amen. I've got a daughter. Praise God, I've got a son. Be 23 in November that's married now. Got a good job. The Lord blessed him. He went through college. He's married. The Lord saved him in one of our revivals just a few years back. My youngest daughter that's here in the back, Lord saved her in one of our meetings. I've got a middle daughter that's a year older than Sarah there, and she's married now, but she's not saved. And listen, I can't quit. I can't turn aside. I can't look back. I can't count my life dear. I've got a daughter that if she died right now, she'd split hell wide open. And I shudder to think of that. And there's times God grips me and I fall on my face with a broken heart and cry and plead. Oh, God, be merciful. Listen, we can't give up. We can't turn aside. Don't let these things move you. Don't count your life dear to yourself, but press on. Amen. Press on. As I look so often, and the eyes are dry. There's no move. No one seems to be affected when they come into the house of God. I know that's discouraging, and I know for pastors, that's discouraging. I know for our pastor often it is to preach and feel like you poured your heart out to your people and you preach to them what God's laid on your heart. And then you wonder. I know he has to. He don't talk to me much about it. But I know he has to leave at times and wonder, did anybody get what I preached this morning? Did it really find lodging in the heart? Was it really seed that fell on good ground? And I just want to encourage you this morning. Whether you're a preacher, a missionary, whether you're a layman, whether you're just a member in a church, listen, it behooves us to stay the course. We've got a generation in front of us. Listen, we've talked about that, the faith of our fathers. And it's good to look back and see all those that went before us and all that was laid down and those that were martyred give their lives for the faith. What did Jude say? That faith once delivered unto the saints. It's good. And oh, listen, that ought to... But that ought to encourage us and lay before us an example to follow them and not give up. Don't be moved. Don't count your life dear unto yourself. Why? Here's why. As I said in the last, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's ministry wasn't one of self-interest. Paul wasn't motivated by self. I'll close with this. You remember Paul wanted to go on into Asia and the Holy Ghost forbid him to go, didn't he? And what took place after that? The Bible said he had a vision. There was a man from Macedonia that called and said, oh, would you come help us? And the Holy Ghost meant for him to go and he opened the door and Paul went down and there he began to testify the grace of God to the Gentiles. There he became that vessel, that light unto the Gentiles, that chosen vessel of Christ unto the Gentiles. And you and I can be thankful today that the gospel was carried into the Gentiles because it came to America and it reached us in our generation. But listen, here's the sad thing. Here's the truth. We don't know how close we are. We could be one generation away from losing all these things we cherish. They're trying their hardest to do away with the Word of God. I heard, you know, they had that 9/11. And out of that, they found two pieces of steel that came together and formed a cross. And it just so happened in all the rubble, that's the way the two pieces came together and it looked like a cross, and they took it and they stood it up. Some of you may have heard about this. They took that cross and stood it up and used it as a memorial for those that lost their lives there in those Twin Towers. And just recently, maybe within the last year, they said there was a group of atheists that began to petition the courts and said they want that moved. They don't want no cross. And one fella said, listen, I have to walk by that every day, and when I do, it makes me so sick to my stomach, I think I'm getting nauseous and I'm going to throw up. And I read that and I thought to myself, I tell you what, I wished I had 100 more crosses. I'd put them all the way down the road from one end to the other. Every step he took, he'd come in front of a cross. Let him get sick and throw up. Listen, we don't know how close we are to losing those things. The Word of God, they're trying their best to do away with it. They're changing it. They're coming out with all these other things, and they're doing their best to put it to rest. They don't want any mention of God. They don't want any mention of the Word of God. They don't want no prayer in public. I've never seen the like of things that's happening. But listen, like Paul, don't count your life dear. But finish the course. Finish it with joy. And along the way, testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Brother R., you come.